pineapple words, or how to avoid throwing hand grenades. We all know how words work to encourage the front bit of the thought box to consider all the options and make decisions, instead of leaving the back bit to say no. Well, let's look at how we can still get tripped up with some of the simplest, seemingly most inoffensive words that are just sitting out there. I call those pineapple words. Named after the World War II American pineapple-shaped hand grenades, these words have potential to blow up negotiations in all the aspects of your life. The reason this description is on the spot, it's because the words we use can have devastating results as they conjure up thoughts in others' thought boxes. Therefore, the words need to be carefully chosen so that the correct thought association is made. Barry Mumbles will have certain thoughts about the words he hears. So to control those thoughts, even before Barry has them, we need to control the words Barry hears and have them enter through the front bit of his thought box whilst avoiding the back bit. Let's consider the topic of contracts. Now, there's a pineapple word if ever we heard one. Contracts are often deemed as being complicated and scary, the kind of thing for which you need a lawyer. Well, we're often taught at a very young age not to sign, which is another pineapple word, anything. But if I say, Barry, how about we get the contract signed? Barry's not going to be enthusiastic because I know how people feel about contracts and signing anything. His primary emotion is going to be anxiety. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm out of my comfort zone, getting into something I don't know. What if I don't understand the small print? These are already negative thought patterns in Barry's back bit of the thought box because I've introduced two pineapple words, contract and sign. So what if rather than saying, let's go and sign a contract, I say, hey, let's go and get some papers organized. Now, what do you think Barry goes through Barry's mind? He goes, oh, that's just papers. Something less threatening that has sort of writing on it. You know, I can roll, you know, I understand papers, man. I tell you what, I read them, I roll tobacco with it, I wipe my butt with it. I mean, he comes across this word association with the words paper daily. It's not a scary word. This word papers instead of contract removes the unknown, the anxiety. By the way, could the words on the paper be exactly the same words as on the contract? Yes, but again, by using the wrong words, we are using pineapple words. As I just said, pineapple words are words that are loaded. So as if you're going to start throwing grenades at somebody's head. So when I say sign something, I'm introducing a reference to an embedded thought from the back bit of the thought box which says never sign anything. Indeed, we can say things like, let's note down what we agreed and then write our names or just, you know, like make your mark here and thumbprint dipped in oil tar over there and that'll be suffice. This is likely to elicit a little laugh and release all the built-up anxiety. Another way is to sign first, then silently turn the paper around towards Barry, who will follow my example. Now, it's not like Barry in doing anything against his will. However, by avoiding the pineapple word contract and sign and replacing them with words that don't trigger his fight or flight response in the back bit of the thought box, he doesn't become anxious. I may even hand Barry the papers and say, hey Barry, how do you spell your last name? Great, we'll put it there so that we don't forget it in the future. Barry will then sign the signature box without me using pineapple words that might bring up thoughts with negative associations. This way the pin never needs to be pulled from the grenade. So quite often I say to people, sir, what's your name? Blah, 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 blah. I'll tell you what, how about you write that down because I'm totally sure I'm going to write that incorrectly. And then they end up signing on the spot. Describing the benefit that a formal contract provides is more powerful than the title of a form and avoids using pineapple words. Some great examples of pineapple words are ones associated with time. How often have you had someone tell them, I'll meet you in 5 minutes and find yourself still waiting 30 minutes later? Oh, I'm only 5 minutes away. Or just a second. She'll be with you in a minute. We all know that those don't reflect real time frames. If you want to control people using a time period, make them far more likely to take notice of your meeting and turn up on time, then use odd times like, I'll meet you at 3:13. I'll be there in 4 minutes. Hey, let's meet for 7 minutes. odd times don't trigger the embedded negative scripts associated with 5 minutes, meaning 20. They suggest to others that you're disciplined, a reliable person without having to tell people this. If I was going for a job interview and was asked by the receptionist what a good time would be, I would answer 3:27 rather than 3:30. He's more likely to notice me and probably mention this to his boss. They'll make an assumption that I'm someone who you can totally and absolutely rely on. Think about the association people may have to certain words and whether it's positive and non-threatening. If the association is negative or likely to introduce many negative embedded scripts from the back bit of the thought box, then simply change the words. For example, I'll never call to say I'm running late for a meeting. Instead, I'm just a bit behind schedule. Behind schedule indicates that you're organized because you work to a schedule, while late implies you're simply unreliable and disorganized. Pineapple words can appear on paper as well as in daily speech. Over the years, many clients have asked me to review papers, letters, proposals, or statements before sending them. My question is always the same. How do you want the person to feel when they're reading this, and what action do you want them to take? When we look at the desired outcome first, then we can remove all the pineapple words that get in the way. The thought box has a list of scripts as to why it should not do something as opposed to doing it. If we speak to the back bit and knock those scripts out, the front bit has no alternative but to move forward, as well as all the reasons not to have just been removed. Pineapple words are super important in both personal interactions and business. They can be replaced instead with shoehorn words for a proposal to be more easily accepted in many situations. Shoehorn words. A little shoehorn saves you bending over. A harmless cousin of the pineapple words, shoehorn words are nice and polite. They reduce the barriers and provide the oil that helps move things through, like a lubricant for words. For instance, no one likes to stop doing anything and no one wants to start doing anything new, but we're all happy to transfer across or move towards. Shoehorn words allow the easy slipping in of a subject while providing the least resistance to the proposal being made. When somebody has something in an embedded process or script, they're reluctant to stop it because it's already in play. So if we ask them to stop doing something, they're going to ask why. It's a big decision for them to make. If we ask a client to stop working with Company A and instead start working with Company B, this is a big decision to make. They've never had to do that before. We're chucking around the pineapple words, stop and start. We know that when we throw pineapple words up in the air, some people will go into the fight or flight response in the back bit of the thought box. So if we use a different phrase, hey, why don't we just simply transfer from A to B? People will happily transfer across, and the practicality of it being from A to B, well, you see, that stops one thing and starts another, but that's actually entirely lost on them. Right now, many struggling businesses need to reallocate staff. A less destructive way to do that with shoehorn words is not to tell people their job has gone. It's far better to suggest that the more skills they can acquire, the more valuable they are to the company. And with that in mind, we'd like to move you up to the fill-in-the-blank department. The shoehorn word here is moving people up, or we can use other phrases such as upgrading to or progress to. In the worst case, if it really isn't defensible as any kind of up, then sideways is better than gone. To move someone sideways, you can transfer them across to Department X. This can be used in reverse if you're an employee and feel that there will be potential job cuts in your department but more security elsewhere in the organization. Approach your boss and suggest that to help the company in its time of need, you're happy to step up or upgrade to the blah, blah, blah department for the same salary in order to do your part. The reason this is effective is because when we step down, we associate that with paying less, while stepping up has the opposite effect. For many years, I employed people and learnt that the closest thing to manufactured perfection on this planet is a job applicant's resume. As an employer, I'm trying to assess whether employing you will make me money or cost me money. Having to assess an individual during numerous interviews and meetings costs time and money. A shoehorn conversation means you slip yourself into the job in two ways, so pay attention when you're job hunting. Research and find out everything about the business you want to work with from the inside out. This will blow the employer away, as very few potential candidates ever bothered to do this. And it says a lot more about your attitude without the need to be asked and tells the interviewer why they need you. Interviewers generally follow the same familiar patterns. The normal script that pops into the interviewer's thought box when you say something, you know, will be like, oh, really? And why is that? So instead, tell the interviewer how employing you will make her company more money, and use this opportunity to showcase your skills and experience by discussing how you might be able to help her. Great shoehorn words that you can sprinkle in here could be, save you money, streamline, more profitable, more efficient. You may notice that I avoid using pineapple words in this book where possible. This is because I want to affect how you feel about many elements and want you to conjure up positive, not negative thoughts.